Today's Shem Sechtu Abakama, Daf Mem Zayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Zayin, Amar Aleph, 8 lines from the top. In our previous year, we had discussed a case of a cow who was attacked, and the cow was pregnant. The Mishnah's focus was on a situation where we don't know if the animal, the baby, was miscarried prior to the attack, and therefore the attack had nothing to do with this baby, or was the baby also miscarried because of this attack. And we had learned that the one thing is certain, and that is that if the animal was attacked when it was pregnant and it miscarried because of the attack, then the matzik has to pay for that. Rava's focus, as we begin our shir, is how do we make that financial evaluation? Vamarava ain't shom lepar b'fnei atzmai, ulevlav b'fnei atzmai. When we make this assessment, we don't look at the cow by itself and at the baby by itself. El shaman levlad agave para. The way we do this evaluation is how much is a pregnant cow worth, and how much is a cow that's not pregnant worth, and based on that, that's how we make this evaluation. Ain't shaman lepara b'atzmai. We look at it at the cow. If you're going to look at the baby as if it was already born, says the Gemara, that says that causes unfair damage to the mazik. And says the Gemara, what is the precedent for taking such an approach? If somebody, chas v'shalom, cuts off the hand of someone else. So the way we evaluate it, says the Gemara, is not how much would a person be willing to take to have his hand cut off. If we think about that type of a number, it's obviously a very, very high number. So rather, the way we look at it is we look at a person, how much is a person with a hand worth versus a person missing a hand. We can't have the mitzvah of mazik. We don't ask the person if somebody did damage to a row in a field. We don't ask how much would you be willing to take to have this row in your field destroyed. Rather, the way we look at it is we look at a field that has all of its rows in good shape, and then we look at the field missing one row being in proper shape, and what's the discrepancy. The Rosh explains that when the Mishnah says that, when the Gemara says that when somebody damages someone else, injures somebody else, we look at him like an eved who sold, and we determine how much he was worth and how much he's currently worth. We don't look at, as the Gemara said, at this arm or whatever by itself. We look at it, how much he's worth, how much an eved with a hand is worth versus how much an eved without a hand is worth. And as the Gemara just said, the reason that's done is because we want to not be overly strict with the mazik. So of course, the question that comes up is, why are we trying to be nice to the mazik, and why not be concerned about the nizik? So the Rosh explains, a pasuk that we learned so many times in our Masechta, is the pasuk says that ubir b'stei acher, says, what do we see from here, says the Rosh, that the fact that the Torah says ubir b'stei acher, we have to look at the entire soda, like the Gemara just said. And therefore, since the pasuk says be able to stay acher, therefore the limit is to assess based on the field, not on the row itself. Another, but then asked the Rosh, that the Rishash, that this pasuk, Abibis Deacher, as we well know, is a pasuk that's stated regarding Niske Shar, when a shar does damage. But here we're talking about when a person does damage. So how would we know that the halacha is that even when a person does damage, and he strengthens his question with a halacha that we've also learned many times, and that is, we see that the Torah has certain chumris by Niske Adam versus Niske Shar. A person that injures another person is chayiv and nezek tzari pishevus and boishes, whereas an animal that does damage is only chayiv and nezek. Still says the Rishash that there's a gzeirah shava that connects, that whenever the Torah tells us how to make a determination of payment, the Torah always says to use the same method. What the Torah is doing by telling us that is that we always use the same method, whether it was a niske shor, whether it was an animal that did the damage, or whether it was a person that did damage. Amalei Rav Achrei de Rava says, Rashi v'dinahu, if the halacha is that this is the way to do the evaluation, so ask the Gemara, why is this bothering you? Lichash mazik. If what the halacha requires is to do this evaluation in a way that works against the mazik, so should be the halacha, says the Gemara. Mishum damalei, because the mazik could always say to the nizik, para ma'arbita zikticha, when I did the damage, or my animal did the damage, the animal that was the victim was a pregnant animal, and therefore the evaluation should be done in the status, in the state that the animal was when it got injured. Parm abita shaminalach, says the Gemara. Pshita. We discussed in our previous shir that when we speak about the pregnant animal in our shir, is the mother and the baby can be owned by the same individual. But we also discussed that there could be a situation where the mother and the baby are not owned by the same individual. And that point is now addressed. Itmar, in a case with par dechad, where the mother is owned by one individual, vlad dechad, and the baby is owned by a different individual. The easiest way to understand this is that the owner of the cow had sold it to someone else, but had not included in that sale the fetus. So the halacha is that the mazik has to pay to the owner of the cow for his loss, and he has to pay to the owner of the fetus for his loss. Upitma, what happened was that the animal was fattened up, and now we're evaluating the animal, and because it went through this injury, it weakened, it got skinnier. And animals are very much assessed according to the weight. So pitma, the value of the fat that decreased belongs to balapara, belongs to the owner of the cow, because he's the one that has the actual cow. What about nafcha? What does that mean? We know that the animal, when it's pregnant, takes up more room, and that also makes the animal more valuable. Who is the owner of that? Mai. To whom do we give that value? Rapapa says we give it to the balapara. We give it to the owner of the cow. Ravaka amar cholkin. We divide it, because both contribute to that the cow is now bigger. So since they both contribute to that reality, they divide it, and says the Gemara v'Hilchasa, and that is indeed the halacha cholkin, that pay, because it takes up more room, is divided. We learned on Daf Tes early in the Masechta that when the Nizik went into the Rishus HaMazik, and because he went into the Rishus HaMazik, that's how he got injured, then the halacha is that the mazik doesn't have to pay. Because as the Gemara often said when we started the Masechta, Torcha Brishusi, my boy. Our Mishnah is going to begin discussing different scenarios where somebody brought something into somebody else's Rishus, and what will be the halacha. So says the Mishnah Hakadar, someone who is a manufacturer of pats, Shechnas Kidaroisov L'chatzar Balabayis, Shalai Brishus, that he brought his pats into somebody else's property without permission. V'shavar behem tisha balabayis, and the animal that belongs to this person who this rishus belongs to destroyed those kalim potter, because as we said a moment ago, the mazik could tell him you shouldn't have brought here. What is the definition? Says the Shita Mekubetzes of Shaloi Brishus. So there's a very big machloikus. The Shita explains that Shaloi Brishus means that he was specifically warned, don't bring your pots here. Don't bring your pots here. And he didn't pay attention, and he brought his pots there. Now we have a situation, how to view what happened here. That's the Shita. I did see other Rishonim that say Shloi Brishus in a much simpler way. Shloi Brishus means that you didn't get permission. Why are you bringing things into my property without Rishus? Potter. From Husku, and let's say he brought things into my Rishus, and my animal tripped on those things and got hurt. There's Husku Behen, Balgderes Chayiv. The person that brought him in will be Chayiv. Then Chechnas Brishus. But now, if he had permission to bring him in, and my animal then broke those kalim, the loch will be Bal Chatzur Chayiv. And similarly, that if my animal got hurt because of those pats, my animals tripped on those pats, again, the loch will be that I will be, that he will be potter, because I should have known that I gave permission to somebody to bring his pots in here, and my animal could easily trip on those pots. So, continue the Mishnah. Another case. Hichnas Peresel L'chatzar Balabayis. Somebody brought his fruit into the Chatzar of Balabayis, and he brought them in Shloi Brishus. V'achol Behem Tisha Balabayis, and my animal ate them up, Potter. V'm Husku Behem, if my animal got injured through those payers, so Baal Payers Chai, because you had no right to bring them in. However, from Hechtas Brishus, if you brought them in with permission, then the Baal Bayis is Chayiv, then the Baal Chotzer is Chayiv, again, because he had given Rishus. The Vachlan Behem Tisha Baal Bayis, so Tzvash Yisrael says that the reason the Baal Bayis is Potter, because he had no reason, he had no right to bring it in. What about the fact that my animal now had what to eat? We've had such a concept earlier. So on that I saw, actually, a machlokes achronim. The Tzvash Yisrael says that I, the owner of the animal, who these fruits were now brought into my property without permission, have to pay for the fact that my animal ate. And we also spoke early in the Masechta on Daf Chof Amal Aleph, how that evaluation is done. Dar Sameach, however, says that you don't have to pay. And one of the rayas that Dar Sameach gives that you don't have to pay is if the halacha would be that I have to reimburse you for the fact that my animal ate this fruit, why is that halacha not mentioned in our Mishnah? So the fact that it's not mentioned is a proof that you don't have to pay. But the Osmech asks, isn't the Tzvash Yisrael correct? Why isn't he have to pay? So the Osmech says that the payment of Mashanenis is not a Hilchus Mazik. Hilchus Mazik, as we learned, is, as we keep on learning, if somebody causes damage, when is there a halacha that you have to pay? He says, the halacha of Mashanenis is not a helchus mazikin. It's a helchus choiv. Just like if I borrow money from you, I have to pay you for the money. I have to repay you. So too, the halacha is that if my animal ate your food, I have to reimburse you from that. So it says, one of the nafkaminas will be, we've learned also in our Masechta, all the way at the beginning of the Masechta, that a nizik collects from Meitav. A Baal Choyv pays me Beinonis. And therefore, the type of payment or for where you could collect is very different. So explains the Osameach. The owner in our Mishnah doesn't even have to pay for Mashanenis. Because the Osameach explains that the obligation to pay Mashanenis is limited to cases in which a person derived benefit from somebody else through his own action or through his animal's act, such as where somebody eats, we spoke about this at the beginning of Masechta, where there was fruit left in the Rishus HaRabim, and my animal ate that fruit in the Rishus HaRabim. So in such a case, since my animal ate your fruit, so you indeed left in the Rishus HaRabim, which you shouldn't have, but my animal at the end of the day ate your fruit, so that's why I'll be responsible to pay. But let's say you, as the case of our Mishnah, where you left your fruit in my rishus without permission, so you're the one that did something wrong. He gives a good example. He says, why would be the halacha if somebody fed my animal? I didn't ask him to feed my animal, but somebody on his own, went and fed my animal. So says Dar Sameach that in such a situation, I would not have to pay. Because who asked you to feed my animal? I had nothing to do with you feeding my animal, and then the halacha of Mashanenis would not apply. Says the Mishnah. One more case. Hichna Shairoi L'chatzar Baal Bais. Somebody brought his animal into my property, Shalai Brishus, again, without permission. And my animal did damage to your animal. My dog bit your animal. In both of these cases, a potter. And I saw that the Achronim tried to explain why did the Mishnah feel the need to give us two examples of how your animal got injured. That my dog bit it and that my shor attacked it. So they explain, because normally animals get agitated, one animal from the same type of animal. So here too, my animal attacked, you brought in a shor, and you knew that my shor is there, so you should have been concerned that these two animals are going to get into an altercation. But with a dog, you wouldn't necessarily think that the dog is going to attack the shor. On the other hand, a dog is more likely to bite someone than an animal. And therefore, because we have these two different considerations, the Mishnah taught us both cases. So again, Oshinoshka Kel Shabal Bayis, but Nogachu, if your animal that you brought here without permission did that, injured my animal, Nogachu Shorish Baal Bayis, the halach is chayiv that you have to pay, that you're responsible. There's interesting machlokes rishonim. What is the chayiv? If your animal that you brought here without permission attacked my animal, what will be the halach if it's a tam? Does it pay chatzi nezik or does it pay nezik sholim? The opinion of the Rambam is that a tam always pays chatzi nezik. The Tosfos Rid says that over here, everybody will agree that they pay nezik sholem. And he says that even though we've learned a machloikis in a masechta, what is the halacha of keren brishus hanizik, machloikis chachamim erbet harfin, here everybody agrees that with you, without permission, brought your animal into my rishus, that is such a strong, that is such a strong aveira. And since somebody, what you did is completely unacceptable, and because it's completely unacceptable, the halacha will be that you're gonna have to pay for that nezek shalom. Nafal, if you brought your animal, continuing our Gemara, you brought your animal into my chatzar, and it fell into a bar, into a pit that I have in my chatzar, and v'hivish meimav, and you destroyed all the water that's in the bar. In this case as well, chayiv, you, the person who brought this in, had no right to bring it in, and you will be chayiv. Haya ava ubenai l'taychay, if the father or the son of the person who owns this property was in that bar, shalom, as a kaifer, then this will be a case that a shor killed a person, and the halacha is that you chayiv to pay kaifer, like any other situation where an animal kills. Rav Amar, Rabbi Amar b'kulon, all of these cases, ain't a chayiv. He's not going to be chayiv, even in a case if that you had permission to bring something in, and even in a case that you had permission to bring it in, and my animal did damage to the things that you brought in, or my property did damage to your property, I won't be chayiv. Because Rebbe teaches us, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, that when I gave you permission to bring something into my property, indeed, I gave you permission to bring it in. I did not accept of myself, however, says Rebbe, that I am now responsible for what you bring in. And since I am not responsible for what you brought in, therefore, even if my animal, for example, did damage to your animal, I will not be chayiv. I will not be chayiv. The Chashuk Echemed discusses a question where somebody was a guest in a hotel, for example, or this question sometimes comes up where somebody goes to a shul and he sits down on the bench, he sits down on a chair, and then there's a nail sticking out and his suit gets torn. And the case, we'll say the case the way the Chashuk Echemed says the case, and now he wants the hotel to reimburse him for his ripped suit. So what is the halacha? So he says that the reason we would seem to think that the owner of the hotel should be held responsible is because it's what we just learned. Hichnas Prishus, I was allowed to sit down in this hotel. We'll make the case where I am a guest in the hotel. So since I'm a guest in the hotel, I certainly have a right to sit here. So you should be chayiv, as we're learning, certainly according to the Tanna Kamma, for what happens to my suit. So he says, no. He says a nail that's sticking out from a chair is called a bar. And as we've learned many times, the halach is that you're not chayiv for kalim. Bar is not chayiv for kalim. But on the other hand, he says that the machloikis that we just learned in our Mishnah maybe changes that. Because we just learned the machloikis Rabbanan and Rebbe, when I give you permission to come into my property, what does that include? Rebbe said it includes that I give you permission to enter my property, but I did not take upon myself to watch your things. And therefore, I will not be held responsible. However, here, Rabbanan hold, my giving you permission to come into my property means that I will take care that your belongings will not get ruined. And therefore, in that case, maybe it's not considered a bar, maybe it's considered a Adam Hamazik. And he adds an important dimension, because he says, part of the reason why a person is not responsible in all cases a bar is because a person should be watching out where he's walking and watch out that there's no pit that he should chas v'shalom fall into. And that's why we learned if a person, Adam, shor v'loy Adam, is not chai by bar. But when somebody goes into a hotel, no, he's assuming that the benches, the chairs in the hotels, don't have nails sticking out. And if you therefore have halacha, therefore if you have, you took upon yourself the responsibility, you will be chayiv for Adam Hamazik. But then, he makes an interesting point. The point that he makes is that the halacha might be different in this hotel, where I'm a guest, versus a shul. A hotel is anxious to have guests, and it sort of implicitly saying to its guest, we'll make sure that your stay will be here, fine. But in a case where where you come to the shul, it's difficult to assume that the shul is taking upon itself that level of responsibility for everybody that's walking into the shul. And therefore, the halacha might be different in a shul versus in a hotel. So we learned in the Mishnah that the person with the pats, that brought his pats into my chotzer without permission, and my animal got injured because of those pats, you that brought in the pats will be chayiv. Tama, so says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, how do we understand the Mishnah? Tama shalei brishus, because you brought it in without permission. Habrishus, had you had permission to bring it in, lo mechay b'chal b'al teres b'niskabem to the b'al chotzer, you wouldn't be responsible. V'loy minin, and we don't say that when you brought these pots in, we don't say that when you brought those pots in, that I'm taking obligation to watch those pots. V'loy minin, we don't say that you have responsibility to make sure that my animal won't get hurt. Mani, whose opinion is that? Rebbe, Dama Kabbalistama. In all cases where it wasn't clearly, explicitly spoken out, the halach is that even though I allow you to bring your pots into my rishus, like Kibbalah Nitarasai, I don't keep taking my responsibility, Rebbe said at the end of the Mishnah. I did not accept responsibility to watch your pots. And the same thing will be that you didn't take responsibility to watch my things, and therefore we're equally not chayiv, says the Gemara Emes Sefer. But let's continue learning the Mishnah. And hechnas brishus, if you have permission to bring it in, b'al chatzah chayiv, then I am responsible. I didn't take explicit responsibility. But whose opinion did this represent? Says the Gemara Asla Rabbanan. That's the opinion of the Rabbanan. Damar b'staminami, even if I didn't take on this responsibility, kibuli kibul of the terosai. The halacha says that it's implicit that I took on this responsibility. V'su, let's learn the Mishnah further. Rabbi Yom B'kulan and Chayiv, in all cases, am I the owner of this chotzer exempt? I won't be chayiv for any damage that my property does to my guest's property. Until I take it upon myself, I explicitly took on that responsibility. So ask the Gemara, this Mishnah seems to be jumping back and forth with whose opinion is it following. Reisha, the Sefer, the first case of the Mishnah, and the end of the Mishnah are following the opinion of Rebbe. Mitzrasa, in the middle case, is following the opinion of Rabbanan, which is difficult to explain. Amar Rav Zeira, says Rav Zeira, because I don't have another way of explaining the Mishnah, Tavra, we have to split up the Mishnah and say, Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu, that the Mishnah was authored by different Tanoim, and the first part of the Mishnah was authored by a Tana who follows the opinion of Rebbe. Then the second part was authored by somebody who follows the opinion of the Rabbanan. And then they brought back Rebbe's opinion. Rav Amar no, Kula Rabbanan hu. The entire Mishnah is the Rabbanan. Ubrishus Shmiris Kederis Kibalov Balachotzer Vafila Nishba Beruach. He says the Rabbanan disagree that even though the owner of the property, did not explicitly take upon himself to make sure that nothing will happen to what's brought into his property, he's chayiv to watch what happens to that property. When, on the other hand, when we say the person, my guest, is not responsible to make sure that my animal, I, the owner of the property, doesn't get hurt, doesn't get damaged, that even the Rabbanan explained. Why? Brishus, when I gave you permission to bring your things into my property, Shmiris Kederis Kibbalah Balachotzer, I accepted that what is implicit, according to Rabbanan, is that I set up, that I watch everything you brought in here. Vafilu, and therefore, even the case, Nishber Beruach, where they broke, the halacha will still be that I will be chayiv. But that is I who am the person who owns this property. But in a case where I'm not the person that owns the property, I'm the guest, and I'm the guest that has permission to bring things into the property. In a case where I'm the guest, and gave you permission to bring things into the property, even the Rabbanan agree that that permission doesn't implicitly, certainly not explicitly, but even implicitly represent that you took upon yourself any responsibility. So the level of responsibility of the owner of the chatzar is much greater than the level of responsibility of the person who, of the guest. So we learned in the Mishnah, Hechnas Peres L'chatzar Baal Bayis, you brought your Peres into my property, and then by bringing the Peres into my property, then my animal, I, the owner of the property's animal, slips, you will be responsible. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Lo Shana Shoch Behen, that's if the animal slipped. Aval Achla, if my animal ate your fruit and got hurt by eating too much fruit, Potter. And why? Because the Gemara introduces a new concept. And that is the concept, my Tama, because you could say to me, Havel Shloi Teichel, the animal shouldn't have eaten. I didn't ask the animal to eat this fruit. I actually don't want the animal to eat the fruit. And since I didn't want the animal to eat the fruit, I should not be held responsible. So the way Tosfos explains that there's no reason that the damage, the nizik, the animal, is the one that brought the damage upon itself. Since it's the animal that brought the damage upon himself, that's why the mazik, the person who brought the fruit, will not be chayiv. The Rosh has a different approach. The Rosh's approach is that the mazik that brought this fruit here had no reason to assume that my animal will overeat from his fruit. And since he had no reason to believe that my animal will overeat from his fruit, that's why he's not chayiv. Amar Rav Sheshes, says Rav Sheshes, Amina, I believe, Kinayim v'shochiv Rav, when Rav was sleeping, Amal Hashmatzim. And I saw that the Chavis Yor has an interesting pshat here. He says that Tosfos in Masechta Nida tells us there are two parts to somebody sleeping, the beginning of the sleep and the end of the sleep. And he says that when somebody goes to sleep, and at the beginning of his sleep, it's a very deep sleep. And that's what he meant to say. You must have been in a deep sleep, and you said this. Because if you weren't in a deep sleep, you would have recognized what you said was incorrect. Amar Sheshes Amina, Kinayim v'shochiv Rav, Amla Shmatza. The Tanya. The Brisa teaches us, if somebody puts poison in front of somebody else's animal, pot medine adam, v'chay medine shemayim. What are we learning here? Sama mavus hudlavida dachla. The animal should have known to stay away from poison. Avo peris, but fruit, which is normal for animals to eat, avida dachla, medine adam nam yuchayiv. then the person who put those animals, those fruits down, will be held responsible. V'amai, davlish le'toichel, you should have known that my animal should have not eaten it. Amri, says the din, marhu adin afil peiris, nami patum din adam. The halach is even by fruit, you have this claim of havelish le'toichel. V'akamash malan, why? The Bryce is teaching us a different chiddush. The filus sama mavis nami, the loyavida dachla. Animals should normally stay away from poison, and therefore you should be totally exempt. Even medina shemayim teaches us the Bryce that you're going to be chayiv medina shemayim. Vibayis ema, another way of learning, that since animals don't normally eat poison, you shall not be held responsible for putting down poison. Sama mavis nami, that this poison that's being discussed here is a frafta. It's a grass that looks like regular grass, but it's poisonous to animals, the hyena peri. So you can't say that the animals should have known not to eat, because this is something that looks like regular food, and how did the animal know that it's really poison? So ask the Gemara Meisvei, the Braisa teaches us. A woman comes into somebody's property, somebody rents his grinder for people to grind their wheat. A woman went used this person's grinder, shloibrishos, v'achlam behemta shabalabayis, and the animal of this property ate up her wheat, potter. From husku, but if the animal got hurt through this woman's grain, chayevis, she'll have to pay for it. But ask the Gemara, v'amai, we just learned in our shir the new concept. Why can't this woman say, havlish le'toichel, why did your animal eat this? If your animal hadn't eaten this, there wouldn't have been any problem. Amri, says the Gemara, omir kedifa masnisen, why is this a question? The Kimna, we explained to our Mishnah, the Mishnah speaking about a case of shehuchluk behen. The entire discussion that we're having here, is there a concept of havlish le'toichel? But everybody agrees that that if the animal got hurt, my animal got hurt because what you brought in to my rishos, that you'll be responsible. Ask the Gemara or the Karolei, my Karolei. This is such an obvious answer. What's the Havamina in the Maskana? Says the Gemara. And from here, Tosfos makes a very important point. Even though I'm in the business of renting out my grinder, and presumably, Tosfos, I think, is saying that this woman is not trying to avoid paying for the use of my grinder. It doesn't make a difference. You have to have permission to use my grinder. You have to have entered into an agreement, and otherwise you'll be responsible. Amalach answers the Gemara. Bishlam says to the Tani, the Mishnah was very clear that speaking about a case where the animal got injured, And that means shochluk ben hu, that my animal slipped on what you brought into my property. Avok tanim husku v'loik tani behen. Why doesn't it say the word behen? Because it means achilu d'tani it ate. Vidach, and the one that explained the brisa that way, amalach loishna. There, it doesn't make a difference if the word behen is stated or not. The way to understand it is that my animal slipped. The owner of the property's animal slipped on what you brought here without permission. Tashma, says the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, if you brought your animal into my property without permission, and your animal ate grain that was on my property, and he got sick, and he had diarrhea, because animals aren't meant teat wheat, umes, and the animal died, potter. I will not be held responsible because you shouldn't have brought your animal here. However, mechnas b'shutz, if you brought it here with permission, the baal chatzur chayiv, I, the owner of the property, will be chayiv. For my, but ask the Gemara, we've introduced in our shir a new concept, the concept of havelish le'toichel. So why can't I say to you, your animal should never have eaten this fruit? Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Rishloi, Brishos, Karamis, I don't understand your line of reasoning. Brishus, when I allowed you to bring your animal into my property, what I took upon myself, Rishmir Asharis Kibalov, I took upon myself that I'll protect your animal, and therefore anything that will happen to your animal will be my responsibility. I feel Chanukas Atzmai, and therefore if the animal ate what it wasn't supposed to be eat, it will be my responsibility. There's an interesting Gemara in Masechta Derech Eretz. The Gemara speaks about a story with Rabbi Yeshua that was staying at somebody's house. There was somebody staying at Rabbi Yeshua's house, and Rabbi Yeshua was concerned that this person is a ganef. And the way that they used to have in their homes was that there were two floors, two stories in people's homes, and they would have a ladder from the bottom floor to the upper floor. This ganef, in the middle of the night, wanted to come down and steal, but what Rabbi Yeshua had done was he took away the ladder. And the question is that, is he responsible for the ganef getting that damaged? Says the Mechashleimer, Shleimer Zaman, Zatzal and Chel Gimel, Simikin Hay, that the halacha is that here, the reason I'm not responsible is the person who took away the ladder is not responsible, because before a person goes down the hole, he should make sure that the ladder is still there. And therefore, he says that the person who took away the ladder didn't do anything wrong. The question that comes up when we learn our Gemara about putting down food, and our Gemara now introduced the concept that you should have been careful, that havle shloi lechol, that the animal should not have eaten that food. So I saw that somebody has property, a field, and Reuven has such a field, and he gave Shimon permission to put his animals there, even though Shimon's animals are sick. I, Reuven, who owned this property, now what happened was the Shimon's animals who were left on my property, as we just said, were sick animals. And because they were sick animals, they ate food, and animals aren't particular, obviously. And my animals ate the leftovers of those animals, and they got sick. And what's the halacha? Will he be held responsible or not? So the Paiskim want to discuss, it may depend, was I aware that Shimon's animals were sick? I gave Shimon permission to bring his animals into my field, but I didn't know that his animals were sick. And if I knew, I wouldn't have let him bring him in. And maybe, therefore, since he didn't inform me, and I therefore wasn't careful to make sure my animals don't eat from his animals' leftovers, he should be held responsible. That's one approach the Shas Jews based Shloima Choshe Mishpat Siman Kuf Chavov takes. On the other hand, he says that it's really a grumma. He didn't directly make my animals sick, and therefore maybe he shouldn't be held responsible. And Chazanish also makes a point. Even though our Gemara, he says, introduces a new concept, and that is the concept that your animals should not have been, your animals should not have eaten this food, that's only in a case where the food was left on the floor. But let's say you deliberately fed my animal, and you overfed it, and it caused my animal to get sick, then the halacha is that you will be held responsible. The Paiskim discuss that we know that one of the malachas in Shabbos is Netilas Neshama. We're not allowed to cause somebody to die, and any living thing, even an animal. So the Shas Tshuvas Shvus Yaakov discusses a question: are you allowed to put out poison? A person has a problem with mice or insects in his home, is he allowed to put out poison? Is he allowed to put out poison on Shabbos because he's going to cause those animals to die? But our Gemara introduced a new concept, and that is that Havelah Shloi Teichel. The animals shouldn't have asked it. And therefore, in this case, we maybe the person who put out the poison should have not have eaten it. And therefore, maybe in such a case, that you won't be chayiv for putting it out. But on the other hand, that what's the halacha if are you allowed to spray some whatever spray that causes insects to die? In that case, it's much more of a shaila, and the Chazon Ish says that it's still, we have the concept of Havelah Shloi Teichel. The insects could have left, and they wouldn't be affected by this. And this is an interesting case where Chazon Ish is machmer, and the Ktzos is mekel, and the Ktzos HaShulchan is machmer, and says that not only that you're not allowed to spray something which will cause that the animal should, that the insect should die.